You're listening to the Green Lantern Spotlight Podcast, episode number 49 for March 2010.
Today's rendition of the Green Lantern Spotlight, prepare a locale for all your Green Lantern-related news, rumors, and reviews. Today, we'll be talking about news coming from the Emerald City Comic-Con and going through our review of the final chapter of the Green Lantern Corps, number 46. I am, of course, your host, Frankie Mateo, and joining me today is Brandon West, the co-webmaster of the speedstersite.proboards.com. Also, we have Tuhan, the creator of the Real View Mirror podcast, as well as our ever-present... our ever-present, well, generally likable member, Musard, as well as our, knowledgeable of all comic culture, Eric Cahill, and our sponsor, the man who brought you the GreenLanternCorps.com, Andrew NDP. How are you guys doing today?
Yeah, how are you, Andrew NDP?
It's getting hot here. I'm going to take off all my clothes.
I thought we were going to be like,
I'm still hot. Take my clothes off.
You are not a hack, Frankie.
And we're going to be talking about the Emerald City Comic Con that was held during March 13th to the 14th. And we're going to give it to Andrew NDB so you guys can start bringing us actual news that was being held during that time.
All right. It was a pretty good time. It was a lot of fun. Just going down the list here of things that came up at one panel or another. The Alarflee's Christmas special was mentioned and then later reconfirmed, so it's happening. It may just be a mini-story like within the yearly DCU holiday special, but I'm not sure about that. Basically, the premise is that he hears about Santa Claus in it and then decides to hunt for him. It doesn't imply that Santa Claus is real in it. It just implies that Larfleeze hears about him and then kind of decides to go on a rabbit hunt for Santa Claus. Basically,
yeah, Lobo killed him, right?
Yeah. Well, Lobo has killed Santa Claus in the past in DC.
He doesn't know that. He doesn't know.
Nobody tell him.
I think that might be why Atrocitus might be fighting Lobo for his honor.
It literally sounds like it's about...
For Larfleeze's honor.
Like you broke my friend Larfleeze's heart.
Those guys are like totally boyfriend and boyfriend.
He's gonna marry Saint Walker. We know that.
How attractive is this?
Okay. Continue, Ed.
Well, just to me, it sounds like it's gonna be like a 7 or 8 page mini story, and it's gonna be like, you know, he's walking down the street, and someone's gonna be like, "Yeah, I can't wait for my presents from Santa," and he'd be like, "What, Santa?" And he just kind of takes off on a rabbit hunt, you know, without adorable.
I totally want to see him just walking down the street.
Sounds totally perfect for a guy who's destroyed whole civilizations to walk down the street looking for Santa.
So, does anybody even read these specials, the Halloween and the Christmas specials?
Yeah, they can be pretty good. I've done it in the past.
There was a fucking awesome Kyle one just a couple of years ago. It was badass.
Wasn't that the one where he faces his fear?
Yeah. Written by Eddie Braganza.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll read them. I will read them once in a while. I mean, it's good value. I mean, it's like a dollar more than the regular stuff, and then it ends up being not even. Sometimes the specials are about the same.
That last holiday special with Guy Gardner and Ice was pretty good too. That was awesome.
I mean, I prefer the 80-page giants to the theme specials. I mean, we need a GL 80-page giants. That way, we finally get our four member fix.
I see. That was like the original premise, and that was actually one of the items here. the previous premise. Well, the only premise for the second feature that was going to be within Green Lantern Corps, but was scrapped altogether, and I did confirm that it did not evolve into Emerald Warriors. It was just its own thing, and then it was scrapped. The premise was that it was going to be exactly like back in the 80s. There was the Tales of the Green Lantern Corps backups in the back of Green Lantern, and just like a random every story would kind of spotlight a different Corps member, and maybe have their own little story, and that'd be the end of it. Maybe it's two parts, maybe it's one. But Jeff vetoed that. It was Jeff himself that vetoed it. He said, no, I want big stories, and if it's not a big story, then it has to at least tie into the big story. And if it doesn't, it's got to go. Literally. That's what he said.
So he's saying it just has to be a run-on story now.
Yeah, I'm really happy with that.
Nothing but giant stories.
Right? It's got to tie into the big story or be part of it.
Wow.
I don't like that idea. I think it's I think what's the point of having thousands and thousands of space cops if we have to focus on one particular story with like 12 of them?
That sounds more like a character of John than anything else. Like something you joke about.
I don't understand what it takes away from anything. I mean, it's like you still have the main story in like Green Lantern Corps if that's where it's going to be. And then if you know there'd also be this other story here on the side. How does one hurt the other?
Exactly. Think about all the characters involved in Green Lantern at this point, how they're all more or less Green Lantern spin-off characters anyway. I mean, not Kyle Rayner, but Guy Gardner, and how they had whole GLC storylines revolving around, you know, the Green Lantern that fights vampires, the Green Lantern, you know, that and stuff. That's all stuff that shows up at a Green Lantern Quarterly or once Green Lantern became, you know, a GLC book and stuff. I mean, it's kind of lame. It's kind of lame to kind of just cut all that off. Like, and Sornik not to.
Or the Raker 80-page giant, you know, where he came from. We would never have these characters if not for those kind of stories. And under the current regime and way of thinking, there would never be these new characters. There would never be any of these great origin stories or spotlights because it's all got to be tied into the brightest day or the blackest night or the brownest night or what's going.
Yeah, Vanth and Asimov are awesome characters, and Sornik Natu, and as you mentioned, Raker. What is Raker doing nowadays?
Raker's absolutely doing nothing at the moment. I know he lost his sector partner.
He's posting on the fucking record message board.
There should have been a fucking special, a Raker special during the Final Crisis.
There should have been.
Apparently, Final Crisis now
that would have been the place.
Doesn't exist. So he was fighting figments of Grant Morrison's imagination. Like the old story about that.
Going back down the list here, Laura Flees will soon get a house and a boat. Doesn't seem like that's tied into the Christmas special, but that's just something in Brightest Day or something.
Oh, it's definitely tied into the main story more than Tales of the would be.
It will probably have something to do with something major involving a giant houseboat attacking the city.
Maybe it'll explain where the Greenlanders get their money from if they get paid. I mean, how does Laura Flees get money?
So at some point, is not going to get funded by the Guardians of the Universe?
I feel like at some point Tomasi confirmed that they get paid, but he didn't really get into specifics. I don't know.
No, they should. I mean, it only makes sense. I mean, I remember there was something in GLC about Slack trying to tell Guy not to open a bar because they're going to take the newbie's money, but he didn't actually say.
I remember there was something about like somebody broke a lantern. I think it was in GL where Hal like broke a lantern and he's like, "Oh, I gotta."
Yeah, Rotox. Something about like six Rotox, like $36 million. Anyway, moving on the list.
Right.
Okay. I guess I'll skip. Move to a more relevant one. He also at one point steals the Eiffel Tower, Barfleys does, and Hal makes him give it back. One of those funny slapstick things. That,
Waka Waka.
that kind of a thing.
Moving down the list.
All the new Guardians are going to remain on Earth, much to Hal's displeasure. So we can assume the issues to come in GL will mostly revolve around them and not so much Hal Jordan or anything else.
Yeah, it seems like DC really shouldn't have spoiled this information, because it might even be something I'd be excited about, if not for the fact that they've been talking about these guys as the new Guardians for, like, you know, the last four issues of Blackest Night.
Yeah, I mean, it feels like everything that could have been a good, you know, surprise, like, oh my god, the Anti-Monitor comes back in GLC, oh my god, it's Necron, and all these things.
Oh my
god,
a giant rock.
They seem so hell-bent on spoiling it in advance. I mean,
it's weird. It feels like the last spoiler we got was, the last thing that we didn't get spoiled of was Anti-Monitor in Sinestro Corps War. And then before that, it's all spoiled. Like, there's like one little tiny moment that was perfect and we didn't get spoiled and it was amazing. And everything before and everything after is just super spoilerific.
Yeah, I mean,
We couldn't have been spoiled because that was the very first issue.
Well, yeah, but...
We still could have been because...
Still sends tons of spoilers where the solicit's saying, oh, look, and the Anti-Monitor comes back. Oh, my God!
But he appeared in one page!
Yeah, we weren't necessarily told... but we weren't necessarily told about Black Lanterns. We were told what they were and who was going to come back before the first issue ended, you know? Yeah. And well, the biggest surprise was that the Hawks were killed, but...
Killed again.
I thought they were already dead, so...
Yeah.
and
probably were.
So it was a big surprise to me that they died because they were already dead. And Sinestro was the White Lantern, which actually makes that surprise seem even dumber than we were talking about it being already because, you know, that's really the one thing you don't want to tell people, maybe because you're most embarrassed about it. But yeah,
pretty much. I
mean, it would seem that the person doing their marketing is the same person who's doing their marketing for everything in the media now. You give everyone pretty much what they're gonna be expecting for the movie, flat out in the first 2 minutes of a trailer, and then expect them to be surprised when they watch the movie.
Well, it's working for them. I mean, you know, their sales are great because I think it just proves that Blackest Night, obviously, reading it, we know it's not a story at all, and it's certainly not about the story that doesn't exist. So. It's not a story. It's just a sequence of events strung together by flimsy dialogue.
Jeff Johns, a series of unfortunate events.
Nice.
Moving on the list.
Just a minor thing here. Someone went to the mic and asked Jeff Johns directly if we're going to ever see more of 2814, and they went into the whole thing about, Hal and John are supposed to patrol like this whole sector, and we only see Earth. And he was like, "Yep, we're going to see more of 2814 coming up in Brightest Day. You're going to see Zudar, Tomar 2's planet." And which is odd because it's like, isn't that in 2813? But
no one needs to explain this to Jeff Johns.
Hearing you explain it, it sounds like, wow, that's really nerdy, but it's also really logical because it's kind of like saying, doesn't he live in Queens, when we're talking about Florida? So, yeah.
I think he's going to go to Zudar and find, like, a giant can of Pringles.
Is that why you left the sector? Yeah.
Is that why you left the sector?
Maybe he'll find the pussy wagon.
Come on, you like these Pringles? No, my sister was attacked in a sweatshop. Is that why you left?
I'm surprised no one has asked Johns what we asked Bedard about. What's Hal going to do for a sector partner once John leaves?
I don't think he's going to have a sector partner. I think he's going to be official liaison to the Guardians. I think he is one.
I don't think it'll be addressed, I bet you. It'll be like, oh, yeah, Hal's just
flying by the seat of his pants.
Yeah, I think he's going to be one.
He completely forgets he had a sector partner and goes, wait, you're talking about that black guy?
He's going to be one of the Guardians.
If it comes up, it'll be like, oh, no, he's got the new Guardians on Earth. They don't need a sector partner.
So if he is a new Guardian, does that mean there's no 2814 Lancer now? It's just a whole empty sector of the Green Lancer?
They'll reassign it.
Earth will apparently become the new Oa.
Oh, no, because
it's the center of the universe, isn't it?
Oh, my God. You figured it out.
Oh, my God. I put two and two together.
That would be interesting, though, if we get new lanterns on Earth. It won't happen, but if we get, like two new lanterns and Hal's just living there as another new guardian or whatever.
Well, I am curious what's Oa going to be, considering that the base of operations seems to be Earth now.
They'll more likely move into Crypt, into the Fortress of Solitude, take it over, make that the new cathedral, base themselves there.
Why can't they just ask Spectre to make everybody forget that the Earth is the central point of the universe?
Because the Spectre apparently doesn't roll that way.
Yeah. The Spectre was vaporized.
Please, Mr. Spectre.
Listen, no.
Well, Hal didn't even need to be asked when he was Spectre. He erased Wally West from history, which is like, I think, Jeff Johnson's secret little thank you kind of
thing. We all know. Hal Jordan doesn't think things through as much as most people give him credits for.
I think that was his meta idea. I think his idea is like, how can I actually erase Wally West from history? I know, I'll actually erase Wally West.
He's gonna do it.
How can I also bring back my best friend? Oh yeah, I'm gonna pluck him from apparently the ethereal plane.
I want to find. I don't know. Whatever.
One thing I wanted to address was not only how would the people on Oa react? How would the Earth governments react when suddenly there's thousands of lanterns of different colors flying to Earth? Like, oh yeah,
they're already used to this. It already happened in the 90s.
Superheroes, but yeah, I mean, what's the? I honestly,
I'm talking about thousands upon.
No, I'm talking about they already existed as bases of operation on Earth already.
You can't put that kind of scrutiny on things. I mean, Gotham's still like, there's no Batman. That's an urban myth.
Yeah,
sure is it? Running around with the Justice League.
What's the deal with the big bat symbol in the sky? Oh, if you have a problem with malfunctioning equipment, you got to talk to maintenance. I'm like, what?
I don't understand what you're talking about. What bat signal in the sky? You mean that giant signal that beams from the top of the police headquarters?
It's just an unfortunate coincidence.
I think the Men in Black exist in the DC Universe and they just flash people every time they see the bat signal or Batman.
Don't you remember Checkmate?
Checkmate?
Yeah, depending on the situation. Depending on the situation or the storyline, DC has thousands of shadowy organizations that are all controlling the government at the same time. Like, how do these guys know what the other guys are doing, Remember the shadowy organization that was controlling Kyle Rayner's life when he first showed up?
Those guys were burning this. What were they called again?
The Quorum.
Oh yeah!
Like in the last couple of issues of Green Lantern, it was implied that they were actually all just Major Force or something.
Every single one of them was all Major Force.
Here I am.
Force issued the orders to himself to go kill Kyle's girlfriend.
Yeah, I like to talk to myself about politics.
Oh, he's just an ass.
Okay, so aside from that, what other news do we have from the Emerald City Comic Con?
It did come up that Atrocitus will be romantically interested in Mara. But she won't be interested back. Carol will continue to be buddy buddy with Diana post Blackest Night.
I thought Atrocitus was romantically interested in St. Walker.
Yeah, his greatest hopes and dreams were to marry St. Walker.
I will say his greatest running buddy will be Larfleeze from now on, and he will try to at least woo St. Walker once or twice.
I mean, does anybody else have a problem with the fact that half the new Guardians are genocidal maniacs? Like, is that just overlooked? I mean...
Apparently they're genocidal maniacs with reason, or, hearts of gold.
This is like Black Adam all again. The guy literally killed everyone in a country, and we're supposed to feel bad for him, because...
It's not half of the new Guardians, it's three-sevenths.
We don't even know, actually, how many of the new Guardians are going to stay. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen to Sinestro, we don't know what's going to happen to Hal. I mean, we only know that Atrocitus and Larfleeze are in the... I mean, the only confirmed new Guardians are Atrocitus and Larfleeze, so...
I assume Hal will be there somewhere, because he's on the cover in the background.
I say Sinestro will not be dead.
I don't know about that.
I don't believe whoever believes Sinestro will die after this arc is gonna die. I doubt it.
I'm sure we'll find out in a couple of weeks when we get that'd be the end of Blackest Night. But yeah, I'm sure we'll find out like in a couple of days when we get solicits with Sinestro on the cover, like sort of like with his thumbs up, like, hey, I'm not dead.
He's already on a solicit of a cover.
Is he? There we go.
Yeah.
He'd be like. Like the day before Blackest Night comes out. Yeah, he's still alive. Oh, okay.
I know exactly. Like, right.
Thanks. Thanks for clearing that up.
I'm about to read the last page. Jeff Johns slaps it out of my hand, and Dan DiDio says, he's alive again. Don't worry.
I was so worried reading it. Thanks for not allowing me to read the last page to find out.
I think that DC's just going to sell the issue, tear out every page except for the last three. And sell it as a $5 issue. Says it's all you really need to know.
They're just gonna put like the last page with Sinestro like with his thumbs up on every comic store's like in the front of the store, just like, oh, thanks, thank you so much.
You know, I'm confused. Well, I'm interested. The thing about the con where they talked about Emerald Warriors and other premises and what we were told the premises.
It's Andrew. You said it was murky at best. The premise.
Yeah, I mean, all Tomasi really said was. Like from what he's saying, it sounds like there's kind of a gag order for now for whatever reason. He just kind of said, "Yeah, you know, it's just a bunch of lanterns out there doing what lanterns do," and that's pretty much all he said.
What do lanterns do?
from what I remember reading in Green Lantern Corps, apparently they just go around yelling at people really loudly and telling them not to invade other people's sectors or get out of other people's sectors. In their gigantic spaceships.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think the follow-up question...
Border Patrol! That's what they do.
Having a bunch of rules and then nobody paying attention to them at all. And like, whatever.
The follow-up question should have been, well, what do Green Lanterns do? And the answer should have been, are green? Like, that's really all I know about them at this point.
They're green, that's really all. A lantern motif.
That's really all I can about that.
Tomasi obviously likes writing the action and the war stuff, and that's, like, his thing, and it's called Emerald Warriors. I think it's probably going to be about some kind of, like, strike force or something like that. Like, I'm sure you're going to see Vanth and Isamot there.
He's already said that it's not just going to be Guy Gardner in the book.
Yeah, obviously.
The whole point of the book is they're just going to show up, a Green Lantern's going to show up, just as Red Lantern leaves, it's like, we're space traffic lights.
So I think that's pretty much exactly it. I think it's going to be like a strike force.
Oh yeah, I was gonna say because if you want to think about teams, because at this point I actually am interested in who's in the spin-off series more than the regular series, because that's I think we're gonna see some Green Lantern stuff happen. And Bedard talked about that he has Kyle, he has who did he say he had? He had Kyle, he obviously has Ganthet and John, and who are the weird ones he said?
Hanu.
Yep.
Yeah, the rock dude.
Yeah. Someone else.
Oh yeah, Hanu. Yes.
So I got to assume Isamot and Vance.
The fire guy. Does he have fire guy?
Oh yeah, Kyle's girlfriend too.
Saranek?
Yeah, her name's now Kyle's girlfriend.
Her name is now Kyle's girlfriend.
She's probably the best new Green Lantern.
I can't believe they had to, bring her down in a level just because she's dating Kyle.
She actually lost character motivation when she started dating Kyle.
And they tried to give it to her by making her, I like how everything, she was like a really interesting character by herself, and it's cool that they intrinsically tied up the mythology by making her Sinestro's daughter, and Kyle's like, one of them dies, the other dies kind of thing. Desdemona and like Macbeth kind of thing, but like, it's lame. It's kind of lame because she was a really strong character in her own right. She didn't need to be everybody's daughter and girlfriend.
See, Kyle doesn't have to kill people with fridges. Sometimes he kills their character.
But now Kyle needs a character motivation because he had no real character motivation after a while. So they're like, oh, okay, well, let's give him character motivation using this character. Suck out her character motivation and give it to Kyle.
But he has a character motivation.
Yeah. I mean, Kyle, I think it. I mean, I can argue back and forth.
Yeah,
about.
It's not like they've ever taken anything away from Kyle in recent years.
Exactly. See, Ion.
His mom.
His
mom.
His title.
Yeah, exactly. His book.
All of his girlfriends. Yeah.
Well, aside from that, what other things came out of the EmboCon?
Minor note, and you guys probably won't comment about it, but it's Mark Waid actually was in the line.
Oh, yeah.
Nobody noticed until, like, he actually got to the mic, and he was like, he asked if we're going to see any more Adventures with Hal, and the 58th century is Paul Manning, like we did, like, way back. And I think Jeff just kind of said he'd think about it, like, implying that he hadn't thought about it until then. But
I think he'd be in the 59th century now.
So you're telling me nothing's going to happen?
Well, no, because I think...
Possibly
there was some
now.
Kind of scuttlebutt. Yeah, there was some kind of scuttlebutt on the internet that was some kind of in-joke between the two of them, and either Waid was poking at fun at him because he was like a continuity beast, or because that's actually a storyline that's going to be introduced because Waid asked for it or something. I don't really know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I feel there's going to be another Dexstar, you know.
Little. Yeah, Dexstar fights Crypto in Blackest Night. I mean, in New Guardians. I mean, some point. Yeah.
And Eddie, kind of a big point here, but not really. Eddie Braganza did point out that he was a big proponent of making Kyle a Blue Lantern, but everyone else was against the idea. And then later on he was like, he was saying, like, they kind of said that that Kyle was too emotional.
Too emotional?
Okay, Kyle's
too emotional.
John spent
an emotion.
Yeah.
John has spent 5 months staring at a dead planet. Hal has quit being Green Lantern more times than he's been Green Lantern. And as a matter of fact, Hal's actually hold every emotional spectrum ring, and Kyle's the one that's emotional. Fuck off.
Yeah.
John's is an ack.
So basically, as Kyle has more personality. Oh, I get. That's what they're trying to say. All right. Well, I can agree with that. Yeah, sure. Kyle has more personality than the other guys. He should have been offered another ring. I mean, I guess I'm glad because it would have been cool. Honestly, it would have been cool to see Blue Lantern Kyle versus Red Lantern Guy. That's kind of a wasted opportunity, I think.
Yeah, it is a wasted opportunity. It would have been nice if Kyle were offered a second ring.
Punch him in the face of my hope.
Right, I mean, like...
They
offered Hal a blue ring, but not Kyle. I mean, come on. Seriously?
Yeah.
Well, to be fair, Gantz did say he didn't want to give Hal a ring. He just wanted him to be the battery for his core. Just stand there and be willful.
That's what I told Eddie Braganza one-on-one. I was like, you know, I don't think that he should have ever become a Blue Lantern, but I do think that Kyle should have been offered a ring. I mean, way more than Hal should have. I mean, come on.
I mean, and also...
I realize that, like, all these Lanterns are still going to be around. There's still chances for him to be offered or become one.
The best way for me to think about it in this way is the fact that Guy had become a Red Lantern for the fact that he became racial. That means in some ways he's diluted being green. Hal Jordan apparently has shot through the color spectrum more times than anyone else and has become a man whore for the spectrum. Kyle Rayner has stayed solitary green.
And he died.
So,
almost black for like
he may have died.
Yeah, he may have come back from the dead and not become a black lantern.
And he has come back from the dead and not become a Black Lantern. So you know what? Kyle Rayner...
That's pretty hopey, though. I mean, as soon as he, like, that splash major, he's like, let's kick some ass and stuff. Even I was like, oh, I'm all hoked out right now. You know, I mean, and I'm just...
But he inspires so much hope because he's so willful.
I'm just saying, and it's true that they could use this storyline later, but I get the sense from Eddie Braganza saying that, you know, since they had talked about it and they disagree with it, they'll only do it at some kind of other date or whatever. But
in a contest, they'll show...
I think also, one thing I want to say is that somebody had asked Jeff Johns about the legacy characters and how... You know, they kind of confronted about it, I think, in the next day on a Sunday or whatever. And they said, like, oh, what about what's the deal with the legacy characters, like Bart and Wally and these characters?
Oh, yeah. It came up as, like, a cyclical thing. Like, he was like, what we kind of do is we bring the old guys back and replace them, and then we kind of repeat it. Then we do it again with the new generation, and then do it again in 10 years. It's not that we bring back the old guys and then that's the new status quo. No, we keep on doing it. Something like that. Something retarded.
Yeah, and then somebody had specifically said, like, well, that kind of sucks because all the new legacy characters have kind of been around now and they're doing shit. And John specifically said, I think Kyle's doing okay. I mean,
Wow. Yeah, he did. That was one of his examples. It's like, well, he's doing good. Look at him. That's,
I mean,
that's
like
an,
come on.
It's like an example of, as yeah. an example of, like, second generation superheroes that are, like, doing great right now, you know.
I mean, you know, in all fairness, I don't want to... Kyle is still visible, and they haven't done enough to his character to make.
If you know where to look for him, yeah, you can probably find.
Yeah,
him.
Unlike Wally West, he's basically being written out of continuity.
Yeah.
Hey, Phil. At least it's not as bad as happened to Jon Stewart.
Jon Stewart isn't a second generation character, though.
He was never meant to be a fucking leading character. I mean, he was a supporting character.
Actually, he was the black guy.
That's an interesting point. Because Hal has been constantly taken. They've constantly had the ring taken away, or he's quit the ring, and then he's been replaced like multiple times by different characters. I mean, obviously, there's storylines and stuff, but Guy Gardner, Jon Stewart, Kyle Rayner. I mean, you know, fuck. Tom was supposed to get it at one point. I mean, that's actually. So you're saying it's cyclical? It is cyclical. It's like on 30 Rock where he said the beeper king is like people are gonna buy beepers again because technology is cyclical. It's not. That's not a good example. You know, like that's not. It's not cyclical when you keep. I mean, it is cyclical when you keep coming back to the same thing, but you're not like building anybody up. I mean, everybody seems to forget Hal Jordan is a generational character because he was the second character called Green Lantern. You know, he wasn't the first character called Green Lantern, so it seems kind of lame. Not like the other guys have a go.
Yeah,
to be fair, they have legacies coming out this May, so there's a chance that if there's any talent left in Mr. Ween, then we might be able to see some. Legacy with Kyle and Wally and those characters.
It's not even really cyclical because it's like they have this point and then they go away from the point and go back to the point and then they go to a different spot away from the point and then back to the point and then another different spot and then back to the point.
Yeah, they let the story wander away from the camp for a minute and then call it back at dinner time. Yeah.
It's like a figure eight another figure eight on top of it and then.
No, it's like a dog in a chain. It keeps going away in different directions but always gets yanked back.
It's a decent level.
Well, aside from that, any more news from Emerald City Comic Con, or are we done?
We'll see some other laws soon. Jeff said there won't be a GL scene on Smallville, pretty much implied ever. JSA will be back on Smallville this season. Don't care, because I don't watch Smallville. there won't be... Oh, we already covered that. Lobo versus Atrocitus was confirmed for Brightest Day, and if you look at the solicits, it looks like that's actually confirmed for... The Green Lantern Volume 4 core book itself, under the Brightest Day banner. And, did we already cover about the big events? About the No I Like big events?
Oh, no, okay. I guess not.
Or was that before? Yeah.
Well, we touched upon it, but we didn't really,
Yeah, he said about, I asked, will we ever take a break from the big events and get back to, like, the Done in One or Done in Two shorter two-issue, one-issue story arcs? Jeff was just kind of like, no, I like big events, sorry. And everyone started clapping.
Yeah, they started
hooray!
Blindly
Yay!
Clapping.
You're ruining every good book thing.
Did he get to a period? Let's clap.
Oh, he stopped his sentence. This is amazing.
He's taking a breath. Ah, he's still breathing. I love this guy. Clap for him. Yeah.
And then, of course, on that note, he confirmed that he'll be on GL for another 5 years, probably more.
Of it being said at least 5 years.
Can I create some kind of, like, group to get rid of him? Like,
No. We cannot solicit.
On a happy note.
He basically runs,
there was a happy note mentioned.
On a happy note, that only means 10 more stories.
And... The brightest week.
I think you're overestimating the amount of stories.
Well, no, because if he wants big events, right, that means six.
I think we're still in the middle of Rebirth. I think if you check.
I think that pretty much means five more stories, or maybe four.
We're stuck smack dab in
the
five
the
stories.
The entirety of Jeff Jones. Volume 4 is taking place in between the 5th and 6th issue of Rebirth.
Well, Blackest Night is the end of the first of his trilogy of trilogies, so he's been on the title 5 years, so we can expect at least 2 more trilogies and 10 more years.
It's kind of like Jeff Johns came out and, you know, he didn't see his own shadow.
All of a sudden, I'm hoping for comics to go digital a lot sooner so DC goes out of business, just so he doesn't write New Lantern.
The funny thing is that he's actually doing a prequel trilogy, because he's doing Secret Origin 2. I don't doubt that he's going to do Secret
Origin
3.
That's the one thing that kills me. I really wanted to ask about Secret Origin 2. I was going to do it on Sunday, but, you know, he said he would talk on Sunday, and then he didn't do any thing on Sunday. So
I guess he had nothing prepared to actually converse with you.
It's probably going
to
be.
It's a little bit
funny actually. Like he was like in his line. There's a big line of people like lining up to get Jeff John's autograph on Sunday. And like if you actually walk up to his table, there's a big sign there on the table that says Jeff Johns has left the building, but there's still like people like lining up, getting ready to get his autograph. And if you walk over two tables down, like where Brandon Jerwa and Eric Troutman and those guys were, there's Jeff John just sitting there like in his leather jacket, just talking to some dude.
Talking to Troutman.
Well, all right.
Pretty much his line.
The news from the Emerald City Comic Con is already pretty much done.
All bad.
Hey guys, look, they're lining up to see me.
I'm glad Kumar kept going into that.
Let's throw jelly beans.
Let's actually move on, so we're cramming up on time now, people.
No, it wasn't all that bad. Hope, okay. Guys. Hope.
Hey. And now we're actually gonna move on to actually our review of Green Lantern Corps number 46.
Holler.
The last Green Lantern Corps book that's gonna actually have the banner, Blackest Night on it.
And the last, I think this is the last book by the team, right?
No.
They still have another
book issue. Out.
Epilogue.
One more issue with
May. May is when the Bedard takes over.
Oh, all right. Well, good.
So basically, this is the final issue. The final issue of the Blackest Night tie-ins for the Green Lantern Corps, where everything comes together into a gigantic free-for-all with the Corps defending Earth and every single other color in the rainbow.
Yeah, otherwise known as the end of the good Blackest Night storyline?
Yes! As much as we can agree, we actually enjoyed the Green Lantern Corps book a lot more than we actually did the actual title itself.
Maybe not all of us, but...
No, not all of us, but a good majority of us.
Who didn't? Hooray. Who didn't?
Who didn't actually enjoy this book?
Who didn't think this was the best?
I liked it.
Who thinks Green Lantern was better than Green Lantern Corps and Blackest Night?
I do!
Anybody?
No.
Send I don't think there was.
I wasn't serious.
What did Wes
Lynch him.
What was...
Ow! Lynch him for having a different opinion.
I think Iron Green did.
I don't know if you mentioned Iron Green.
That explains it.
Iron Green has no voice on this podcast.
Exactly.
Yeah, let's never speak about that guy again.
I'm almost afraid to have an opinion on this cast.
Sorry. No, you just have to defend it as well.
Good
as...
success.
Yeah. Okay. Let's actually move on to the actual review of the story itself.
Cool.
Frank, what did you think? I want to hear what Frank thinks. He never starts.
Okay, I'll set it up. I actually enjoyed the issue itself. It was good. It was a good one of those stories that made you actually believe that there's actually a war happening here. I mean, most of the stories that was going on in Green Lantern for the most part in the beginning of it, this is again the climax of the story. Was slow going at first, but during Green Lantern Corps, everything pretty much was going, you know, up front and upbeat, and, you know, actually everything had an actual war feel to the story. And this one itself gave nothing less to it. I mean, they had a gigantic battle sequence, moments where characters had to again dive deep into themselves, being with Guy Gardner, and finally we had to see Alexander DeWitt, covering his old girlfriend in there. First girlfriend, the first of the beginning women refrigerators in the actual story. So, again, for the most part, I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the writing in it. I enjoyed the it was fast-paced. It was quick reading, even though it was supposed to be a double-sized or extra-sized.
Seemed extra-sized.
Well, it was $4, so it must have been.
I mean, and for points in the book, it just kept building itself, even when the Anti-Monitor showed up. And, again, a headshot to the Anti-Monitor with a dove bullet.
I love that.
Dove bullet. It was great.
A dove bullet.
It was also great when Guy Gardner came out of his way, going like, hey, let's create a giant Star Trek reference.
Oh, yeah.
I felt like I was suddenly watching Final Fantasy or something, like all the, like when they made the bullet and like they put all the different... Cores,
yeah, that was
like
pretty awesome.
Things to fly through.
It was a gigantic finishing move.
This was the limit
break.
Finish very nice.
Him. I better see this in DC Online Universe.
Fatality.
Is this calling? Is this calling? This is the death of the Anti-Monitor, like the final death of the Anti-Monitor?
We're not sure. Again, the Anti-Monitor himself is made out of anti-matter.
I think it's kind of like the, you know, the halfway Black Lanterns, like Green Arrow on them, where it's like. They could still get all fucked up, like, even Wonder Woman got, like, a spear through the chest, but, like, she could still regenerate because she's still kind of Black Lantern, but not really. I think it's kind of the same thing. Like, even if he gets headshot,
then again, it's like half and half, but we have to take that story with Black Lantern and Wonder Woman, because we can't really tell at one point in time, was it real or was it all daydream?
Okay, but then what about the Green Arrow story where we see him getting like arrowed like 30 times?
But he was fully dead on.
It's moving. I think we're not supposed to know if he's...
Yeah, he was.
We're not supposed to assume he's dead. I think we just get the sense that he could be dead if we want to, but... Not necessarily, because at the end they just say, "Oh, he's down," and then.
And it's not like he doesn't have a brain in his head. He's just energy, you know.
Again, he's an energy being, so basically he gets
shot in the hand, and it's like the same thing, you know.
All he has is an energy in a shell.
It was cool though.
It was great. It was visually great.
I really like that. Like, through all the Green Lantern and the Blackest Night issues, it's like the entire thing is witty banter, and then oh my god, fight him, and then witty banter, and then oh hey, we need to fight this guy. In the Green Lantern Corps, like, you actually see, if you're reading through it, there's, like, tons of, like, you know, they're like, hey, most of the book is, like, war talk, like, you know, hold on. There was Kyle, like, pull, keep him contained, don't let any slip through, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah, it actually seems like a real, and this is funny because I think, really, I mean, comic books have, I mean, fights, like, superhero comics are all fights, that's, like, 90% of conflicts are solved by punching the guy, being stronger than him and stuff, so... I think fights are kind of like, especially in the Green Lantern. That's one of the things I don't like about Geoff Johns's Green Lantern stuff. The fights are always lame. He's got good ideas for fights. That's why I'm not like remotely excited about like Lobo versus Atrocitus, because it's not going to be a good fight. But Tomasi knows how to do good fights. I mean, this is excellent action and well paced, and the whole issue plays out over one battle conflict, one actual conflict that's a single battle and stuff. And you don't really see that. Think about the fight with the Spectre, where they just hit him a couple times and then stood around talking about he might be the Rage Entity, you know, he might be Parallax, and all. Let's go in this. I mean, it's like. Nonsense continuity gobbledygook, where this is like, fuck continuity, let's start fighting and stuff.
Yeah, there was rarely enough actual fight with the Spectre in the Green Lantern book. I mean, for the Green Lantern Corps book, you guys see there's a gigantic free-for-all. It's a giant fight. They have, you know, enemies all around them. They have to, like, you know, keep them off guard. But then for some reason, in the Green Lantern book, even though we had the generals or the generals picked out by Necron, they barely did anything.
Yeah.
Even though they were supposed to be, you know, larger than life, the enemy that they were supposed to fight, I barely saw them fight anyone at all.
Yeah. I'll talk about the art in this issue really quick. I think this is some of really good stuff of Patrick Gleason. Some of it not so good. It looked like a little bit was rushed. A lot of his anti-monitor pictures, I didn't really love them. But there's a few, like there's a shot of Iolande, or Yolande, how you pronounce it, flying around the side of his head, which is awesome. Just proves that Patrick Gleason really knows what he's doing with perspective. And that part where they kill Alex... another great panel. It's just, I mean, the perspective is like almost like, how the fuck did he draw that? You know, like, and I like that. I like, and little cue references. I mean, this is, you know, I like when Kilowog sees Arkillo and he's like, you know, I want to thank whoever ripped out his tongue and stuff. And that's pretty cool. Bringing back that Arkillo was created only to be an opposite of Kilowog.
I like that because it's like, it makes you think, oh, Mongol, but he didn't know that. So,
yeah.
I probably wouldn't thank him.
I think
the thing Mongol was handled in the Green Lantern Corps books, right, guys?
Yes. You know, it's funny because I want to say one thing quick. That part where Guy destroys the ice duplicate, I guess, he says, the only one going to pieces is whatever bogus piece of garbage you're pretending to be. She's pretending to be ice. Is he calling ice a bogus piece of garbage? Or am I misinterpreting grammar?
He's more likely freaked out and just saying and spouting nonsense at this point.
And this bit was, I mean, it's funny because I thought by the time they had Alex in the fridge, it would be kind of lame. It was cute. I wish I hadn't known about it.
Yeah.
It almost seems like they should have thought of this sooner. But
the Black Lantern refrigerator with a magnet and the Black Lantern symbol.
Yeah, I totally walked into this expecting it would be lame with the refrigerator thing. And I seen that at the con. That was like one of the big nuggets they dropped. And it was like, everyone kind of applauded, but it was like, that seems like it might be lame.
It should have happened sooner. But you know, I think this is... What happens in that?
It couldn't have happened sooner.
Yeah, I guess right. But I mean, I guess because I think they already did Jade and they already did so much of this stuff, and it's like the end of the event, and we complain about this so much for all the times that it was just like dead characters coming back. Our zombies isn't a big deal, but I think this is interesting because this is the synthesis of every other Black Lantern attack. You know, I mean, it's what happened with Batman, where it's an elaborate setup. It's an actual battle because he can't defeat her. He's coming. He has self doubt. You know, it's. I think this is probably my favorite of all the Black Lantern attacks, which I wouldn't think I would have said, and I'm not really a biggest fan. I don't like being reminded of Alex in the fridge because it makes me think comics are sexist and stuff, but I think this is probably my favorite of all the Black Lantern attacks and stuff.
The other thing
which is pretty cool. It's I like not, that he I blows up the fridge.
It really showed how strong Kyle has become as far as dealing with stuff like that.
Oh, yeah, didn't even flinch.
The other thing is, it's not like most of the other attacks where they are just started with the dead person... referencing what happened, and then everybody just talking, and then the dead person showing up, and then like, oh my god, we need to fight you, and then it being done. Because it was actually a competent writer.
Yeah, and them showing the attack on Alex, which they haven't shown before and stuff, I guess I was like, you've known about it for years, but it just looks nasty. I mean, you think about it, yeah, you bended her up and put her in the fridge. It's disgusting. I mean, it looks nasty, and I'm glad it was, like, freaky like that. And the whole bit where he's being taken over by Mavis, I think it's a pretty cool idea. It's not an angle you really would have thought of, but it makes sense. He thinks it's death. Yeah. It's guilt.
Expect that. It's almost like the fridge took Kyle to, like, a little pocket dimension or something in his head.
Yeah,
I don't know what that is.
So this is everything that could have ever happened with, and it makes the ice thing seem kind of lame. It's weird that the
by
ice
comparison, thing, by comparison.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, it's weird that the ice thing got the cover. I think Alex in the fridge it's callous because it reminds me of the sexism in comics, but it is a pretty funny joke, and it would have been nice to see that on the cover. Like, how great would the cover have been if the variant was Alex, like the fridge, but with the hand open, and it's Alex. Like
instead of the antimonitor crawling out of the
like the antimonitor.
Well, I like the antimonitor. I'm talking about get rid of the ice cover because I didn't care about the ice guy thing. I mean,
with the fridge, a hand coming out and pulling Kyle in.
I think they decide on covers based on what pun they can make. Black eye.
I guess cut out.
Black eye.
Black guy.
Yeah, they didn't have, when they did the, I guess when they did the, that's probably why they put Jon Stewart on the cover of a few of the issues. Black guy. Like, yeah.
I get it. Black is night. Black guy. Yeah.
I said black eyes.
Yeah, the other but you cut out.
Black.
Well, Wes, what do you think about the issue?
Don't go to me, that's racist.
I go to you because I value your opinions.
Hey, I'm black too.
Black guy. Black guy, on that note.
Black guy, think about racism.
I think I enjoyed it. There's a lot of parts. Yeah, I'm conflicted. There's a lot of parts that I really didn't like Guy freaking Gardner saying freaking every freaking sentence. The dialogue was weak.
What the freaking are you talking about?
The fridge thing was okay, you know. I think I would have liked it a little better if Kyle had not been blended with Major Force, whatever that was supposed to be. That was a little weird. And the rest in peace, Alex thing,
that was a terrible last
It was cheesy.
That was terrible. Was, like, anything you'd like to say to her? Yeah. Rest in peace.
Well, I mean, if he said anything more than
you're still dead. Yeah.
He's been in that.
Pieces.
Do you know how many times
he said goodbye to her?
Yeah. So many times he said goodbye to her in different stories.
Yeah.
So just say no. I don't have shit to say. Like, it's not at all.
He could have said, "I've said all I had to say already."
Yeah. And like, I agree with y'all that the ice thing, ice versus guy thing, doesn't look good as that. And I didn't like that. So that really looks bad. Yeah, I thought it was a decent issue. Nothing big. The anti-monitor. Why do I feel like that's wrong? That guy, the villain of the issue, he was not
monitor be anti.
I forgot what his name was.
Anti-monitor, that's right.
You got it right.
You're right.
Anti-monitor.
Yeah, I wasn't so happy with the dove bullet. Maybe it was the car thing. I don't get why there were, like, layers of bright lights that she had to go through, but
to charge up.
Yeah.
Yeah, because only the mixed colors can kill the Black Lanterns.
Well established by now.
Did it need 30 colors? It could have just been...
It was just a cool
bit. Well, it's a giant anti-monitor. It's a giant anti-monitor. He is the epitome of all destruction of the you know, matter universe. They wanted to take him down.
And
he's only partial Black Lanterns. They had to make sure to try to take him down.
West, how do you feel about the inking?
Let him go.
Was it good?
Was there ink on the page? I'm sorry. I wasn't sure.
Another issue.
Art-wise, I thought it was okay. It was Gleason's better stuff and his worst stuff. Like Eric said, it was a little messy in some places where it's obviously rushed. You can tell that just from the delay. And then there's some spots, like, some spots that I can't think of right now that are done well.
Is it an itching burning sensation?
Oh, it's the Scream Awards.
Yeah, that's about it. It's a decent issue. I'd probably give it like a C, C plus, I guess.
What, there's a grading
though? No, we're not.
I'm only grading Nibby. I mean, what else we get to talk
about? He's trying to just let us know.
Wrap it up. It's
an average book for you.
Real quick, there was the scene where Dove, like where Guy first sees Dove kill a bunch of Black Lanterns, and like the weirdest wording where he goes, "Now Dove's the best bug zapper I've ever seen."
Yeah, like, no, Guy should stop saying
dialogue.
Well, remember, Guy spits out one-liners, and no one else
understands. If it was cheesy, then it would be, "Now that's the biggest bug zapper I've ever seen." That would be less awkward wording than, "Now Dove's the biggest." What?
Like, he was almost saying, like, earlier he was talking about a big bug zapper, and I was like, "Oh, now this one."
Right. Like, yeah. And for a second, like, did he talk about a big bug zapper earlier? Let me look back.
I guess
he didn't.
Well, that's not Carlton. What did you think?
Oh, I like the issue. I mean, you're right. The ice thing was not really done particularly well by comparison to like the Black Lantern Alex Witt scene, which is a lot more emotionally impactful. Because to keep her as a Black Lantern, he just kind of knocked her away. Because like everyone theorized, they're probably just going to bring back all the Black Lanterns to life, the ones that are still around. I also liked the semi Black Lantern anti-monitor. I mean, I honestly didn't expect the rainbow bullet effect. I mean, that was awesome, but. It's like, what the hell? Where did he come up with that idea?
It's a lot better than Hal Jordan saying, "You know what, let's all just shoot at the thing."
Yeah.
True enough.
Let's grab Parallax. I mean, honestly, it seemed like they thought this actually, it's funny because the only comparable battle we have is the anti-monitor is the guy who can arm wrestle the Spectre. You know, and this actually seemed like this is how you would deal with the Spectre, as opposed to being like, "Hit him, let's get an even bigger threat to fight him." Like, what?
Let's jump inside of him and fuck around and look for inside out place.
Rip out stuff until we find his heart.
That half-formed lantern thing was a cool idea, too, because I didn't realize until he said it, and then I went back and I was like, oh, that's actually kind of cool how the middle finger isn't really formed, so kind of a little fuck you to him, I guess.
He's like, "You see that? You see that, Spectre? I can hold out. I can hold out."
And Guy does talk a bit. The part where he's like, "Which means we can destroy him with the fire rings together and wrap his ass in a Technicolor Dreamcoat," like, how could you even say that while you're shouting? Like, there's like 160 syllables in that.
Yeah, right.
And then Dub is like, "Allow me to give you all some breathing room to take down that monstrosity." Like, who talks like that?
No. Everybody else has heard, "Technical..."
I was like, "What? Just tell me what he's... Just tell me three words what he said."
And lightning bolts will come out of my arse.
I have to say, so I enjoy all the characters that just kept showing up in this book. You know, it's a combination of all the things that we've seen, you know, that have been built up through the Green Lantern books. Green Lantern Core books. Yeah, seeing however you pronounce this guy's name again, Boldivian, or whatever you call
Bedovian.
Him. Bedovian. Seeing him again was fantastic to me, because they go like, "Oh, holy crap, the sniper guy."
I mean, they could have easily used John in that.
But too bad John disappeared again.
I was glad to see Bedovian in that role. It was good.
Doing their best to get John out of there.
It's like, "You've had enough of you, black guy."
One more thing about the doc. They guys like, "There's enough Black Lanterns around for today. We don't need you anymore." Yeah, we filled our quota.
Ouch.
My favorite, another line of doubt that's really quick is when Kyle and Guy are talking, when Guy realized that the anti-monitor's in the battery, he's like, "Kyle, you there?" He's like, "I'm here!" Like, what are you shouting for? And then he's like, "You know, we never found anti-monitor." He goes, "Yeah!" Like, really happy about it.
Woo! I finally get to fight the anti-monitor. Amazing.
Really love the anti-monitor? Yeah!
I really still enjoyed the part where Elonde was about to get killed, and Vaf sacrifices his legs! Sacrifices!
Yeah.
It's like, it's one of the greatest actual war. It's a giant war. He actually gets Rishab wounded. Unlike in the Green Lantern books where nothing happens.
Wounded really. Main characters as opposed to
wounded main characters, yes.
As opposed to like dead relative characters who nobody actually knows about.
Bath hasn't had a featured story in like 12 issues.
Everyone knows the character just because, you know, they're introduced in the Green Lantern Corps, and you're reading Green Lantern Corps, and one of the main characters that you've read about loses his legs.
It's not like Jason Russ's girlfriend.
And yes.
Yeah.
And so I love his line. Screw that. My legs are carterized. Don't take me out of this, Ismael.
I liked that it said that it was cauterized, but like it's obviously not by the art.
Yeah, it's like boiling profusely. It's like they're cauterized. No, they're not.
Nearly a flesh wound.
Well, that's like how in the page before, Iolande is hanging off a sharp right, and she stops her sentence because you think obviously she only breaks her sentence because something happens to her. And then the next page, she's like 20 feet away from where she was. So I guess she just lost her thought. She's like, oh god, like I totally forgot I was talking.
Damn my train of thought.
And she's pointing the other
Wait,
way.
We're in the middle of a war?
Yeah.
Her ring switched hands too, actually.
I just realized John was actually in this book. Oh yeah, he went.
He says, damn right, black. Yeah.
Oh yeah, damn right, what? I forgot. He showed up in the first three pages just to go off to that planet again.
And I like how he's like, guys, I want to tell you about something before you found out. What? Zanshi? What? It's back? Yeah, it's actually right over there. It's a fucking planet the size of the sky. Oh, shit.
You're going to go take care of business, right? Damn right I am, Wog.
Like, they're flying past it on every page. He's like, guys, no peripheral vision? Like, and how are blue lanterns doing anything? They're blasting shit. They're not supposed to be able to blast shit.
Well, again, they're support characters. So they're just finally flying next to guys.
And since, I mean, the whole storyline where Hal had to actually have the blue ring on to use it with the green ring, and that doesn't go for anybody else.
We don't need to nitpick it that much.
I do like, I also want to say, every time the Red Lanterns vomit on somebody, I think Tomasi's really gotten the hang of, like, using the vomit.
I enjoyed that great idea.
Wow, they throw up on
it. Yeah, Red Lanterns vomit on him. I can't see!
Dude, and, like, anyone...
There's one panel where it's like the Dexter. It looks like he's just barely dribbling a little bit of blood into the...
Yeah. I'm adding my...
He's like, I'm helping! Like, aw, you're cute.
You're adorable.
Seriously, if he doesn't...
Anymar's getting thrown up on, but he's got his mouth open. Like, dude, people are throwing up on you. Close your mouth. Like, it's awful. It's in my mouth.
Seriously, I'll be disappointed if Dexter doesn't show up in the Green Lantern title on Earth as a patch.
He's already on the cover.
I think in the convention, not to ruin anything, but in the convention they said that not only are they going to tell you his origin, but he's actually a cap from Earth.
So the Dexter of 2814. He was much rage in you.
Raging hard. He's like, meow.
We find out he was Hal Jordan's cat who he left behind for years in the house while he was too busy doing space stuff and being whiny.
Too busy not taking care of his mom's cancer because he was upset about his dad. Yeah.
Cat's like, you dick, I'm going to get a red ring. Then we'll see.
That'll show you.
It'll probably be an unfed cat or something. That'd be cool.
Well, again, for the most part, we've all basically enjoyed this story, right? I mean, Andrew, what was your full take on it?
I really enjoyed it. I mean, this is probably the greatest conclusion to a Green Lantern story, Green Lantern core story arc I've ever seen. I mean,
do you think it sums up, this sums up the Green Lantern core tie-in better than the last issue did, 45?
I think so. And kind of like Eric said before, like if the issue were to end with like oh good, we killed the Anti-Monitor, now let's go out for ice cream.
Outside this line, it's like, man, we totally messed up here.
I feel like 45 was the end of that specific arc, and then this was just like a different story, but still within the story.
Yeah. I think if I can just replace a few lines of dialogue on the last page. Then I could just tell me, I could tell everybody that this actual storyline was Blackest Night, and I would be able to say it was a great story.
Yeah.
Just like have Kyle say, oh, we got him, let's have some ice cream, and then the guy's like, let's get out of here before he explodes, because ice cream is delicious, and that's like the storyline.
Because ice cream
I can agree with that. I can agree with that. If the Blackest Night just took place in all of Green Lantern, I would be satisfied. Pleasantly satisfied. Wes, would you agree with me with that?
Probably not.
No, actually, I don't agree. You're wrong.
I thought 45 was a better ending because it didn't bring in so many elements that I didn't give a shit about. It also didn't.
But how can you? What elements can you not give? You know, care about? I mean, this giant story is supposed to be a war of lights. We have a gigantic war of lights. Finally, where we have, you know,
you're right.
Single piece of the core out there that just was created for this sole event finally existing in this book, actually fighting against the Blackest Knight and the Anti-Monitor.
The Anti-Monitor just doesn't. Go ahead. I'll wait.
No. I want to hear.
I gotta hear this.
I don't care about the Anti-Monitor now. Like, his story was irrelevant to me, and it only feels like filler. He's in, he's out, boom. It feels like filler, and it played like filler.
It kind of was, in all fairness.
No, it's filler. Yeah. It's definitely filler.
Yeah.
I knew that from the start. It was like, what's the Anti-Monitor going to do? Is he going to become like a big villain now in Blackest Knight? No, it's to give the Green Lantern Corps something to keep him busy with.
It's to stretch him for one more issue, and it's like...
Yeah.
As for the War of Light actually happening, I'm glad. I'm thankful that it actually happened. I feel like the War of Light is necessary, but it's like, this is the last issue of Blackest Knight for this title, and it's way too late for me. Like, this is what I expected through the entire series. Not that that's what I really wanted, but the War of Light, the War of Light it's coming at the tail end when it should have been throughout.
Yeah, I think the trade-off is that we got an issue that was jam-packed with shit.
I can honestly say that if it wasn't at the tail end, for example, if we had more of this War of Light during the beginning, we probably would have gotten bored in it halfway through.
Mm. Well, I think actually I wish I agree with Wes that I wish every issue was like this, but a lot of the GLC issues have been like this. They've just been padded out a bit, that's all.
If 25 was the last issue, I would have been really, really, really good with that.
I wish they would have taken 45 out. I can't believe they just had Mogo do everything for everybody. Like,
I'm not happy with the
couldn't
story.
Couldn't have even gotten a Blue Lantern?
A Blue Lantern?
What was that? Couldn't have even gotten a Blue Lantern to solve the problem? What, one quick teleport? They were teleporting people anyways.
Yeah, just have Guy imagine that he's going to marry St. Walker, too.
The Indigos.
It probably would have happened. I've seen how St. Walker's looked, that guy.
Yeah, one more that's the thing. When did Worth join the group?
With everybody else. How did the Red Lanterns join the group?
Cyborg actually has a cameo in this. I don't know if anybody noticed Cyborg.
Yeah, that was so fucking random.
And he's green. Like, the colorist is like, why is this guy here? I better just make him green. Hope nobody ever notices
that. He's like 20 feet in the air with his arms just out. You're going to punch somebody?
Why are there gigantic skulls covered in, like, moss flying around? Anyway. And that same page, if you look at it, there the most awkward bit of dialogue in the book is when Anti-Monitor says "let me out," but he doesn't say "let me out." He says "let me out," as opposed to anyone else in here.
Well, he wants to be dramatic about it.
We can say "let me out."
It would, it would be "let me out," not "let me out."
Me.
Maybe that was intentional.
Let me.
Maybe there is somebody else in there.
Yeah. There probably was somebody else in there.
Could be.
It's that guy. It's that one black guy that told Hal that he was not helping black people.
Except when he was saving the fucking Earth.
That still wasn't enough.
No, hey, Anti-Monitor, did I ever tell you about the time I talked to Hal Jordan? Like, stop telling the story. Let me out.
What have you ever done for the black people? Well, I saved your planet like a million times. I mean, is that not enough?
It's kind of like It's like when Necron put quotes around Bruce Wayne, like,
yeah.
Bruce Wayne.
Well, Bruce Wayne. Nightwing's like, what could he mean? I better throw him in a Lazarus pit. Oh, shit. Necron threw up the quote fingers.
That's what he meant when he said that. I gotcha.
And I like when, actually, if you look again with the Let Me Out panel, this is actually awesome because Anti-Monitor, and not to use an old reference, but it's definitely doing like spear fingers here. He's like, washa-sha, like, let me out. Like, don't even Broadway hands.
Jazz hands.
Well, that's good for him. Yeah, this is his moment to shine in the book, in the Blackest Knight book, actually. So, you know, he has to, you know, be a bit dramatic, a bit.
Does he kill anybody
let
when he's like,
let me out?
Let me out. Maybe he's, you know what, maybe it's just, maybe the explanation is that he's named himself me, and he's talking to the third person.
He probably had to do something while he was in the lantern to keep himself occupied.
They're just trying to make sure they don't mistake him for Krona. Let me out! No, me!
Yeah, I feel like...
Oh, yeah, I just now realized the Cyborg bit. I'm sorry, I didn't even notice him.
Yeah.
You know, the emphasis in dialogue in Lettering Balloons, I know some of that's indicated by the writer, but, like, you see it a lot. You know, like, so...
Every book.
Every book is indicated by the writer.
No, I'm saying
like the so over
dramatic.
Usually it is, unless it's a writer that is very loose form.
Because
the time it is.
Yeah, because all right, like for example, wherever the Indigo guy that's also not supposed to be able to talk, but is talking to Dove, and he says, "Fascinating, this power of yours, is where did it come from?" She says, "I'm not sure. I have no idea what I'm connected to and why it singled me out." And then she says, "I'll do whatever I can." You know, like simple as that. Whatever I can. You know, she says, "Whatever I can."
Well, I'll do whatever I can.
No. Whatever. She's literally saying, "I'll do whatever I can."
And then actually, then I'll do it. Like, if this is all you have, and that makes sense, you know, but not.
I'll do whatever I can.
I do whatever I can.
Kyle is like, that's a half-formed Black Lantern symbol on his chest.
Can't you hear my emphasis?
Instead of doing this podcast, we should just read the dialogue with the emphasis. An antimatter universe was also created.
Aside from that.
How many
Aside from that, we're already pretty much stretched this thing all the way to like an hour and a half, basically. So we're pretty much done. So we can all agree we enjoyed the issue for what it was. It was a great, gigantic battle sequence that we all can happily say if it ended on this note, we'd all be satisfied with it.
Except for West,
of course. but aside from that, you know, great issue. Highly recommended.
I highly recommend it.
And if we learn anything from the issue itself, it's best to
end
most of our words.
It's I highly recommend it!
And figure out at what point in time we need to actually emphasize our words even greater.
Yeah. And I'll honor that for as long as I live.
I'm crying for justice!
This was definitely not a White Lantern. And also, I'm glad to forgot to mention, it was nowhere even nearly shown in this book at all. No White Lantern was shown.
Oh, yeah, fuck it, because GLC knows better, because GLC is like a sentient organism that knows what to do in terms of Green Lantern comics.
And that note, I end it. Be sure to visit thegreenlanterncore.com, where you can find the latest news, reviews, interviews on all things Green Lantern. While you're there, check out the message boards and interact with us and other fans. Be sure to send us any hate or love mail at the contact at glspotlight.com. You can also find our YouTube channels at youtube.com/glspotlight, youtube.com/NeilDoublebane, and youtube.com/Kuhan. Not to mention, you can also follow half of the cast via Twitter at twitter.com/glspotlight, twitter.com/Kuhan, and twitter.com/ConscienceB. Also, check out Ryan's blog at www.glspotlight.com.
Be sure to check out Kirby Crackle, the performers of our opening theme, Room Capacity, at www.kirbycracklemusic.com. Also, check out the Roy Clark Method, performers of our ending theme, Sector 2814, at www.freewebs.com/Roy Clark Method.
I have this magic green. It is the color green. It can do anything. Sometimes it speaks to me and says, how? What have you done with your life? People around you keep dying. Use your will to right the wrong. And don't make us wait for too long.
And joining me today are Brandon West, the co-webmaster of the Weird View of the Rear View Mirror.
The Weird View.
Weird. Weird. And joining me today, and of course the sponsor of the man who brought and the sponsor of the damn it. And that's just
Elmer Fudd.
And of course, we're going to be talking about the Emerson City Comic Con that was being held last week now.
Last weekend,
last Saturday and Sunday.
Last weekend.
By the time they hear it,
yeah, it'll be last week, and this is gonna be aired like next week, isn't it?
The weekend before last when you read when you hear this.
The weekend before last,
March
before
13th to 14th.
March 13th to 14th.
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay. So, and of course, we'll be talking about the Emerald City Comic Con that was hosted during March 15th to 14th.
15th
through
14th, yes.
Damn it. I really need more drink in me.
You need more drink in you?
I need more drink in me.
So going backwards in time, how much drunker could you be?
I'm going to take another drink for you.
Thank you.
Hey.
99 bottles of beer on the wall. 99 bottles of beer.
Okay.
Take one down.
Okay.
Pass it around.
Shut up, man.
98.
Okay.
You don't drink beer.
Jeez.
Enough, everybody.
But non-alcoholic beverage on the wall.
I like to hear everybody shut up.
Yeah.
Prolapse.
Okay. And we're gonna be talking about the Emerald City Comic Con, which was held during the March 13th to 14th. Well, again, we'll give him 1 second before we move on. Kuan, you keep making some sort of noise to your mic.
I think it's your voice.
Are you no? Outside of that one. Are you moving your mic around or anything?
A little bit. I'm sorry. I'll stop. It's done.
Okay.
You fucking asshole.
Okay, moving on. Moving down the list.
I think that's how you fucking act.
Okay.
But why? When did it become We Defend Kuhan? I thought he was the guy we all ganged up on besides Mew.
Besides Mew.
What do you guys think about the very middle splash page? Like where the staples are in the
candy. Staples were in an ad.
I know.
Oh, okay. Colgate,
that's
fresh.
Wait, you... What? Aced it. Damn it. Mew, continue your... Damn it.